If you would, we'll begin reading with verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which, in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a puffy cloud out here, or he is a person, as the Father is a person, as Jesus is a person. And it takes a person to have a personality. And we're going to look at some things that prove that he is a person. In the personality of the Holy Spirit is proved by the names given to him in the Word of God. He is called the Comforter. John 14:16 again says, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you. And verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 16, John 16 and verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The personal pronoun, he and him, are used when speaking of the Holy Spirit. Again, John 14, 16, and 17, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither for knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So, he and him. Holy Spirit's a he. God the Father's a he. God the Son is a he. Three persons. They are male. And neither one of them have ever wanted to be a female. This disgusting world that we're living in today, people need to get a hold of God and learn something about him. They need to understand that he's not a one-person God, but that he is a three-person God, and they need to understand that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are just as important, one or the other, because all three make up the Godhead. John 16 verses 13 and 14 says, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now he's talking to the specifically here at his church, and as the Spirit has his and his office work as Comforter to the church. Now, he says that he will show. He told them he'd show them. But he still shows us today. Because we look into the Word of God, and we begin to study, and we begin to search, and pretty soon we begin to really understand. We really see. And we understand and see that the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the All Scripture, is different than the writings of any other individual. We have that understanding because the Spirit is revealing it to us. He doesn't speak it to us in a small, still voice. He doesn't put it in our hearts or our mind. But nonetheless, he's still speaking to us through the Word of God. He gives us understanding. Were it not for him, we wouldn't understand the Word of God, and especially the deep truths of the Word of God. He is mentioned along with the Father and the Son in Matthew 28 and verse number 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as he's commanded. Thus, he is equal with God the Father and God the Son. I think sometimes we begin to think in the flesh that, the Holy Spirit's lesser and Jesus is lesser, but they are all equal. They're all the same, and one acts. They're all acting through that one. It's the only way it can be. And when he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst of them, again, remember, the only way he can be here is through the person of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is here through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and his office work. And he's doing all these things that we've read in these scriptures that they said he would do to the church there. He's doing all those things here for us. This is not us. It's not our. It's not we. It's not some individual, a teacher, a preacher, or whoever that might be, but it's the Holy Spirit. And are you led of the Spirit? How do you know you're led of the Spirit? By the Word of God. That's the only way we can know. But I'll tell you something else, though. The Spirit, when he leads, and a person knows, when I was led to come here, I knew. I was in Albany, and I one day just knew that I wasn't going to be there very long. How do I know that? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. He didn't speak to him. He didn't give me a feeling. Listen, if we go by our feelings, you're going to wind up in trouble with the Lord. But you have to go by the Word of God. The personality of the Holy Spirit is proved by the works ascribed to him in the Word of God. He is the author and interpreter of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, if we sit around and read a verse of Scripture and we say, well, what do you think it says? What do you think it says? What do you think it says? Doesn't matter what we think about it. It says what it says and means what it says. And we cannot take one verse of Scripture and isolate it and let it contradict other teachings and other Scriptures in the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How'd he move them? He moved their vocal cords. He used them. They were speaking by the Spirit through their vocal cords instead of the breath that was in them, that normally they spoke with. It's the only thing that makes sense. He spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, their words were not theirs, but they were God's, the Holy Spirit. We don't have the Scripture by the will or means of man. We have it by the will and means of God. And it's not the word of men. It's God's word. Now, men may have wrote it, but it's him writing through them his words. First Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, and yea, the deep things of God." So, the modernists of today, unsaved by the natural man, cannot understand the word of God. But God hath revealed them to us, to his people, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. No wonder there's so much confusion out here in so-called Christianity today, and so many different doctrines and teachings and religious organizations or so-called churches, all of them teaching something different, when he only set forth one thing, and that one thing is in the Word of God or in the Bible, the all Scripture. So to understand the deep things of God, you have to be a born-again child of God and a member of a scriptural New Testament church where the Holy Spirit abides as comforter, because it was his church that he said he was going to give the comforter to. And his church does not consist of all the saved. It consisted of those out of the saved that he called to be part of his New Testament church. Does he just select certain ones? No, it's his will for everyone to be a member of the church. For everyone. So, God hath revealed them unto us, in verse 10, by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's why people today in religion, they don't give any real merit to the Bible. Preachers read one verse of Scripture and palaver for 45 minutes. The lost in this world and the ungodly want to get rid of the Bible. They take it out of have taken it out of every place in this nation. And brother, that's what's made this country great. Because she was the last stronghold of scriptural New Testament churches that would insist that we're only going by thus saith the Lord. And when you give them an answer to a question they had, if you don't give them thus saith the Lord, they wouldn't accept it. That's dogmatic, that's bullheaded, antagonistic sometimes. But through those churches, you and I have been able to come to the truth and them taking that stand. We need to be sure we take that stand as well, and that we understand the blessings and the privilege that we have of having the Holy Spirit as comforter to give us understanding of the deep truths of the Word of God. And so that then we understand the life around us, and therefore life, human life, is precious and important because it came from God. Man's made in the image and likeness of God. The human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And so, we need to be thankful. We don't need to be haughty and lifted up, and we're special. Israel did that. Look where they've been. Look where they are now. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The personality of the Holy Spirit is proved by the works he's doing now in the life of the believer and his New Testament churches. He makes intercession for believers. Romans 8 and 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, Jesus is our mediator and our intercessor. The Holy Spirit also intercesses for us. And that makes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all involved in our welfare and well-being, everyone. All three. Notice, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, we don't know the words to say to communicate with the Father. But they have a special language between them and the folks that are confused about this verse of Scripture. They want to take and they want to say that that's speaking in tongues, and that justifies them speaking in tongues. Listen, it says you can't speak this tongue. Man cannot speak this. This is a special language between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what this verse says. So, he directs the church. He is the church's leader and guide. You know what that tells us? We need to get out of the way and let him lead. But if you're going to get out of the way and let him lead, you're going to have to do what Ephesians 5:18 says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That wine controls you. He says don't get involved in that. But he says be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so if you're going to follow the leadership of the Spirit, or he's going to lead you, you need to be given over to the Holy Spirit. You need to be yielded. How do you do that? In here and on your knees. In here and on your knees. In here and on your knees. Continually, consistently. And when you're in here, be serious about it. Get in there. And treat it just like the most wonderful food that you can think of. Because this is spiritual food. Amen. We're a spiritual being. And our spirit needs fed just like our physical bodies do. Now, I could tell you that when I get in there, I see pizza and hamburgers and french fries. But I'm not going to. He sends missionaries through the church. Look at Acts 13 and the first four verses. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was not called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, by the way, the Holy Spirit uses those who are faithful and dedicated, those that are given over, those that are yielded, those that are controlled by the Spirit. Now, he calls these men because of their faithfulness in the church. He's not going to call a preacher who's backslidden or excluded from a New Testament church. There are some that feel like, well, they were called when they're out of the will of the Lord. It doesn't harmonize with the Bible. But anyway, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Yep. What happened? The Holy Spirit sent them. The Holy Spirit led them. He sent them how? Through the church. The Holy Spirit works through the church. Did you know the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and so forth and so on? Yeah. How? Through the church. Where's his dwelling place here on earth? In the church. Ephesians, Apostle Paul, the church at Ephesus, made it clear that the church was a habitation of the Spirit, a dwelling place. He sends missionaries. He calls pastors. I thought churches did. And if the church calls, it won't last long. If one is there for the time that he ought to be, the Spirit has done the work. Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Holy Spirit makes men preachers, pastors, and places them in his New Testament churches. The office of bishop or the office of pastor is in the church, New Testament church. And God doesn't call a man to be an evangelist. He doesn't call a man to be a youth pastor. He doesn't call a man to do a... When he calls a man, he calls him to prepare himself to fill the office of a bishop or of a pastor that he might place them. The Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to the church. He commands and directs the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not to go. So he directs the followers of the Lord Jesus, the workers, the laborers. Every church needs to be led of the Holy Spirit. And again, for a church to be led of the Spirit, it takes a membership that is yielded to the Spirit or controlled by the Spirit and not controlled by the flesh or by the whims of Satan and his spirits that have an influence in our lives. If you're here tonight, the wonderful thing about God is that he loves you, and seemingly in this message you were left out, but you're not. You're not. Well, how's that? Well, you're saying, I can't understand the scripture. Well, you can understand enough of the scripture to know where you're at with the Lord, and you can understand how to remedy that distance between you and him. That guilty conscience that you carry and battle with all the time, that old nature. He's made a way for you to understand and overcome that. And it's through and by the Holy Spirit and his work in this world. And if you're willing to accept and to receive, he'll give you understanding. He'll help you. But you can't save yourself. You can't do anything to save you or bring you to Christ. You have to be willing to let him. He's done all the work that's needed to save every soul in this world. Don't need to do any work or any further work. Just need to believe and trust in what he said. Need to just understand that he has the power to save. He has the power to change our hearts and our lives. He has the power to change our eternal destiny. And he proved that power when he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. He died because of our sin. He was buried and rose again for our justification. And that justification is offered to all. If you'll just receive it, not acknowledge it, but receive it with the heart. You ask people all over the world, and many of them will say, I'm a Christian because my family's been Christian all back through centuries. Well, that's Christian in name only. A real Christian is one who has truly repented of his sins and by faith trusted Christ as Savior. One who's believed with their heart that, yes, he loved me so much that he was willing to suffer, bleed, and die, be buried, and then rose again. He was willing for the only time in eternity to be separated from the Father and Spirit. Only time. And what an overwhelming thing it was. The earthquakes, the rocks rent, the darkness, the thunder, all of the creation reacting to the suffering of God, the one who sustains his creation, one who created in the beginning. He has the power to save if you'll just believe with all of your heart and trust in him to do so. Let's stand. What should we sing, brother? 99. As we sing, why don't you come? As the Spirit touches your heart, as you know that you need to reach out to him, why don't you come? Thank you. Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. As you look to the Lord in dismissal prayer, don't forget the program tomorrow evening, 6:30.